Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past 2 weeks, we've had four posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. In the first post, we summarized a study where the authors concluded that female recreational runners who sustain a running-related injury during a 16-week training program typically do not differ at baseline in hip or knee strength measures from peers who remained uninjured. In our second post, we reported on a study where the authors noted that following a concussion, athletes typically walk slower and perform poorly on cognitive tasks compared to controls. Hence, a gait task test may be a beneficial concussion assessment. In the third post, we introduced 11 consensus statements from the proceedings of the International Consensus Meeting on Cartilage Repair of the Ankle. Finally, we described the study where the authors concluded that females who were former NCAA Division III athletes were more likely to report several long-term health benefits, such as very good or excellent overall health, healthy exercise habits, and less chronic health conditions than their non-athlete peers. Despite these positive benefits, the authors noted that former athletes reported poor mobility and higher anxiety. If we take a closer look at that first post, we find that the authors conducted a prospective cohort study to examine if hip and knee strength measures prior to a 16-week training protocol was associated with new running-related injuries among 54 healthy female runners. Prior to starting the running protocol, a runner first warmed up on a treadmill for 5 minutes, and then the investigators tested isometric hip flexion, extension, abduction, and external rotation, as well as knee flexion and extension strength using handheld dynamometry. Following laboratory testing, each runner performed bi-weekly training sessions for 16 weeks specific to their goals of a half or full marathon and skill level such as beginner or advanced. A physical therapist attended all sessions to document running-related musculoskeletal injuries. The authors defined a running-related injury as any limb or back injury that occurred because of running and required running modifications, activity modifications, and/or full removal from training. At the end of the program, 30% of the female participants sustained a running-related injury, and the majority occurred in the final 3 weeks of training. These injury rates align with other work examining injuries among runners. On average, females who sustained a running-related injury and those who remained healthy never differed in baseline strength, previous injury history, running experience, and weekly mileage prior to training. Overall, isometric hip and knee strength measures were unrelated to the onset of running-related injuries among these female runners. These findings complement another recent study where the authors found that many long-established risk factors, such as abnormal rear foot motion, flexibility, and strength deficits, had no relation with new overuse running-related injuries. This information is important because these factors, including strength deficits, are frequently reported among female runners with patellofemoral pain and other overuse running-related injuries. Therefore, these results suggest that factors like isometric weakness may develop as a result of injury rather than contribute to the onset of injury. However, the authors acknowledge that they only considered static strength measures while running requires dynamic muscle action. It would be interesting to understand the relationship between eccentric or concentric muscle strength in relation to running-related injury, and to expand these evaluations to other major lower extremity muscles. Other intrinsic factors, such as postural control, may also be important to examine in this population. In all, hip and knee strength measures did not differ between female runners who did or did not develop injuries during a structured running protocol. Clinicians should monitor and address strength alterations following running-related injury and monitor runners for other modifiable factors over the course of running training. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This past week's most popular post was an article about a study where the authors concluded that ultrasound evaluation of the ulnar collateral ligament morphology may be indicative of pitchers who are at risk of sustaining ulnar collateral ligament injury, and that it may improve player assessment. And don't forget, if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 6 online evidence-based practice courses available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to our posts, the courses, and the journal article on our podcast website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.